Hello. My wife and I had a conversation about Matthew 18, if your brother sins against you, you know, that passage. The purpose of this brief talk is to survey chapter 18 so we can see the entire context in which that passage appears. The whole chapter is about relationships and what makes relationships good or bad. Think about it. From the very beginning, where the disciples ask, who's greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus brings a little child and places among them. To the end, to the parable of the unmerciful servant, the whole section is about humility, forgiveness, honesty, transparency, openness, respect, care, love, what makes relationships good, or, well, not dealing with problems, refusing to forgive, bitterness, avoidance, what makes relationships bad. We're urged to be like children, our attitude. Humility is the essential characteristic. And this is so important, too, that we treat children and those who may be damaged by our words or actions, treat them in a loving way because the Lord holds us responsible for our influence. In fact, he says, if we cause a little one to stumble, it'd be better for us to be drowned in the depths of the sea. And he also says, if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. This is something the Lord takes really seriously. Because everyone's important, not just the powerful, but even the little one. And what is that passage about angels? I tell you, they're angels in heaven, always see the face of my Father in heaven. Little ones are just as important as the big dog leaders. You'll notice in the passage, it says if your brother or sister sins, or some manuscripts say sins against you, you point out their fault, just the two of you. Try to win them over, right? That doesn't work, Jesus says, take along one or two others. If that doesn't work, then tell it to the church. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean the way it's normally taught, that if someone commits a serious sin, he's warned privately, then he's warned maybe with a few more people around, and then there's a public announcement. There's nothing here about an announcement. In fact, it's almost the opposite. An announcement would have the church passive, that is, listening, not contributing. Here, Jesus assumes, at that stage three, the church will be speaking, and the person who's refusing to deal with his or her sin is not listening to the church. Okay, so I don't know how many churches preach that or follow that. I don't actually know of any. But Jesus assures us that if we follow that procedure, that discipline has God's own endorsement. He says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And if two of you agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. So somehow, our relationships on earth are directly connected to heavenly realities. Then Peter comes up, because this is very difficult teaching, and he says, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times. Why does Jesus then say, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times? Well, he's referring to Genesis chapter 4. There's a guy named Lamech. Well, there's a good Lamech later on, but this is a bad Lamech. He's a bigamist. He's taken two wives, and if anything is clear in the book of Genesis, it's not God's idealized plan A for anyone to have two spouses. Anyway, but Lamech says to his wives, Ada and Zillah, listen to me. Wives of Lamech, hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times. Well, someone had wronged Lamech. A young guy had injured him, had wounded him. Didn't kill him. It doesn't sound like he lost a limb. And what's the retaliation? What's the response? To take his life completely out of proportion. Isn't that the desire we have in revenge? We want to get even, that we want to make people hurt. And yet, that's not right. So Jesus is alluding to the Lamech passage in Genesis 4. And what comes after that is the parable of the unmerciful servant. And the one whose debt has been canceled, a debt that was impossible to pay, even if he had a million lifetimes, he'd never pay that debt back, is in effect uncanceled because he refuses to treat his fellow servants with respect, with love. It's actually his servant. You know, they're both servants, but the servant's forgiven the debt. And then that servant refuses to forgive someone who owes him. And the last sentence in the chapter, this is how my heavenly Father would treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. So I hope that's helpful. As we look at Matthew 18, it's about relationships, and this requires love and respect. And sadly, often, when Matthew 18 is used, there may be some concern. I don't want to imply that no one cares, but often the passage is used as a way of preventing change from happening, a way of shielding the powerful one from the input of the one who has something to say. And yet this is a passage about sin and righteousness and reconciliation in the church. So let's think about that. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.